Hello, how are you doing? I hope that the video and the audio are all working really well straight away. Sometimes it does take a few seconds to kind of stop being blurry, so hang in there. And I'm just going to check at my end that everything is working the way that it's meant to be working. Give me one second. Cool. And I will jump into there as well so that I know that you can hear me. Give me a sec. Give me one second. I can hear myself. Perfect. And then I can also see if anybody has any questions. It looks a little bit shaky, might be a bit slow connecting, which is kind of like me actually, because I just came back from having a few days off, which was lovely. If you got my email, would have known that I went down for my very first client's wedding, which was exciting. And you would have also seen that I am celebrating 5 years of Big Notes Get Votes. It's actually January, so it's technically 5 years since the blog started, which is amazing. I'm pretty stoked. And 4 years of private coaching. So I don't know if you know, before I was privately coaching, I was working at Mains as a vocal tutor, and that was kind of my first teaching gig. And it was such an eye-opener. I had to make a curriculum and learn how to teach how to sing, which kind of meant deconstructing firstly what on earth I was doing in the first place and then finding the words for it. It has been a journey and a half, and I'm still learning. The more I learn, the more I realize I have to learn. There's more to learn. So I'm hoping that if you have been with me for a while, like Anderson, who was the first, the guinea pig, I guess, she's doing amazingly well also. So it's been an exciting journey. And as you know, I like to encourage not only the vocal development, but also your artistic development or creative development. So we worked a lot. There were a couple of people actually that I started working with a few years, like 5 years ago, 4 years, 5 years ago, who I have just seen blossom. And I don't talk a lot about my artist development so much when I'm doing vocal coaching, but I do artist development and I have an entire curriculum specific to developing your career as an artist. And so in the beginning, I kind of used to run them side by side a little bit. And now I really isolate them, but I do artist development for, I do an annual program that the Auckland Council funds for one person or two people a year. And I also have done some stuff at the Auckland University, which, yes, I have to say is probably a little bit of nepotism, but it works in perfectly because my husband is a lecturer in popular music at Auckland University. And I might even get him on every now and then, I think, to do a guest thing to mix this up, so keep it exciting in the future. And also maybe if you're interested, let me know as well too if you're interested in seeing some of the guests. So I've done a live like this with one of my other artists, Sally, and that was quite fun. We were talking about busking. You can see that up on the Big Notes Get Votes YouTube channel if you ever want to watch it. But yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know my perspective. Based on, so going back to what I started, which is completely not what the topic is today. I'm just randomly ranting, as you know, that's how I roll. That when I started teaching, I had to, figure out how I was going to teach. And so what I've come up with and what we're going through at the moment is a, whether we're in person or certainly here as a refresher on these weekly live coaching sessions, is the process that I have seen that is most beneficial. And what I've done is I've deconstructed it. So really, the end goal at the end of the day always is to create performance opportunities. It's to sing songs. So whether you're singing them live, you're in the studio, you're doing YouTube videos, covers, or originals. You are whatever it is that you're doing. The whole point is to get out there and perform. So I hope, I'm just always harping on about creating performance opportunities. That's the end game, and that's the entry point. I know that we end up kind of reverse engineering the process and troubleshooting little areas, which is what we're doing in coaching. But that is always the end goal. And so when we started this whole process off, I did start with the one that I think people just don't think about the most. And I just wanted to refresh some of those elements today, which is, before we crack into the focus of this week, we've talked about a creative focus. So if you don't have clarity around what you're doing or where you're going as an artist, then it's really hard to stay on that path. So with that in mind, this Saturday morning between 10 and 12, I mentioned I was going to do like a creative action plan workshop, and I was going to kind of open it up to the public, but I just have not got my A into G. However, I'm still going to do it for you. So I'll be sending you a link. I'm not sure yet where I'm going to host it because I literally still haven't worked through the logistics. So it'll either be here in the Facebook group. And the format is I'm going to show you some slides and talk you through how I plan my creative year. So, for example, I'll talk to you about how I know what gigs are coming up, how I lock them in, how I create space around them. I've just signed my contract for Symphony again this year, which is so exciting because, as you know, my focus is less performing en masse, but just picking the gigs that I really love and maybe, you know, putting those into my calendar. So it might work, it might look a little bit differently to you, but I call them like the pillars that you put in. So I'm going to show you the pillars that you need to put in creatively to make sure that you've got really solid foundations and that you can plan a creative year in advance. I know it sounds a bit bonkers, but if you create the space in advance, firstly starting off with your creative focus, knowing where you want to go, and I'll help you figure that out. You put the pillars in and you walk away with like a calendar and a little playbook, a to-do list, like a project plan of how you're going to make the goals that you've set for yourself happen. So I'm going to do that this Saturday, the 29th, leap day, between 10 and 12. But like I said, I'll send you information. The next thing, just to kind of backtrack, that was the important intro and a reminder for me to tell you about the workshop coming up. But the other things that we've covered is understanding those fundamentals, those pillars of the voice. So what the vocal coaching fundamentals are. We also looked at assessing your voice. So it's really important when you're starting out to know where you currently are. I always tell the story of like putting using Google or Maps and not really knowing your location, where you're starting from, and not knowing where you're going. It's very, very hard to get directions. It's very hard to map out your journey if you don't know where you're at and if you don't know where you're going. So it's kind of like putting, I don't know where I am and I don't know where I'm going, into a GPS system and expecting it to spit out a really clear journey. The cool thing about a GPS system is that or a mapping system, is that you're often given alternate routes. And that's what I love. So part of that creative action plan process is figuring out where you are, figuring out where you want to go, laying down a little journey, a direction, some steps, and maybe some alternate routes as well too. So that understanding where you're at from a voice assessment perspective is really important. The next thing that we then would do is exactly what I just said about the overview, is we figure out what the steps are, and practice plans, including, you know, using your vocal journal, is the next step. So you're really just mapping out how things are going, well, you know, where you're wanting to go, what you're working on with your voice, and then how it's actually working, how your voice is feeling. The reason that it's important to write things down is because it's just too hard to hold into your brain. Now, you don't need to do things like practice planning or vocal journaling for the rest of your life. It's really good just if you're spotlighting. And each year at the season change, excuse my cicadas, The window is open. Each year, oh, hey, Miss Briar, I see you there. Each year around the season changes of April and September, I always spotlight for 30 days with the Get Gig Fit 30-day action planner. So that's coming up again in April, which is another, it breaks down to a focus each day. We went through the practice plan and I gave you a really quick overview of things like your daily vocal care practices, what are your sounds, your singing stretches, your speaking voice mindfulness, and releasing tension overall, any silent giggling to release those false vocal folds. Then I also suggested some ways that you can focus specifically on areas like a song study, warming up, but I'm going to go into those more in depth in the coming weeks once we've finished wrapping up these fundamental elements, which is power, source, and filter, which brings me to breath management, which we did last week. And the breath is the power for your voice. So I hope that all made sense. And I also didn't get around to putting, editing up those videos that I already have a breath management training series that I did quite a few years ago. I will look at them today again. Sorry, just being on holiday for a few days made my brain go funny. I will look at those and I will post links in the group to them once I might just not even edit them. It's just really me making sure that all my terminology gels. But I did take you through most of the exercises last week. So that brings us then to this week's focus, which is the source of the sound. And now this is our larynx and specifically our true vocal folds. So I distinguish the vocal folds with true and false because we know false vocal folds are the little muscles that are just above the true vocal folds that make the sound. And sometimes it helps to visualize. So I do have a video that I can play you, but you might just want to go ahead and watch this in your own time, but I will maybe give you a little look just so that we know what we're talking about. And the cool thing, oh, by the way, false vocal folds, we did go a little bit more into depth. If you're like, what are you talking about, lady? On the 22nd of January, we talked about the false vocal folds and their role as a protective layer in our larynx, a protective mechanism in our larynx. In fact, our whole larynx is a protective mechanism for our airway, but then we've got these little substructures like the false vocal folds that come across the true vocal folds to protect, and they're usually triggered by anything that is effort perceived. In a primal sense, I've mentioned to you that's like the primal uses like pushing out a poo, bearing down when you're picking something heavy up, having a baby, coughing, sneezing, anything that's a buildup of pressure that requires a release, your false vocal folds will come and engage in that and help you out. So it's that kind of sound. That is your false vocal folds coming into action. Obviously, it's not an emergency. Like, we do not need that level of engagement of the false vocal folds when we're singing, particularly not when we're doing high energy things like belting. So that silent giggle helps you to keep those false vocal folds retracted and out the way so that you're not adding any distortion to the sound unless you want it to, or compression. You might have heard those words bandied around. That generally any structures that are above your vocal folds will assist you in distorting the sound. And with that, the reason that that happens is because your true vocal folds, they come together like that, and they are then vibrated by air pressure coming up from your lungs, and that produces a sound wave. And that sound wave then travels into your vocal tract or your filter and can be resonated in different ways. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. But firstly, let's just talk about the true vocal folds. And we may have covered this if we've done a few lessons, but I wanted to go a little bit more in depth about some of the physiology because it's really fascinating. Again, this is out of context. The context is once you know how to control all the 13 individual voice structures, You then throw them together to make voice qualities, which we will talk about later today. And I'll show you the instant hack, which is just imitating primal sounds. But when you're coming to troubleshoot as a pro singer or as someone who's really serious about delivering an amazingly healthy vocal performance consistently and in the most efficient way, it makes sense to understand how the moving parts work. So this is why I give it to you like this. Okay, so the true vocal folds, I'm just going to read it because so I don't mess it up. They produce the sound. They're very pliable when they're hydrated and when the surrounding muscles are free from tension, have an agility to their coordination. So you've worked out what moving parts, what pitches, what voice qualities you want to use. They are really quite an astounding tool. The even more astounding thing is that your vocal folds are about the size of your little fingernail. So they're tiny. And that's why we really want to be balanced about our approach to the amount of air pressure that we need. We don't want to be excessive about that. But we also don't want to have enough air so that they're not able to do the job. And then other muscles have to come in to kickstart the sound production process. We want to figure out that perfect balance of airflow, depending on the pitch, depending on what we're asking our voice to do, and then filtering that sound again to make it easy, projected, make sure our the quality of the sound that we're producing is exactly what we want it to be for the stories that we're telling or for the spaces that we're singing in. That true vocal fold is made up of four layers, but to just break it down into a nutshell, you've got like the body, which is the muscles and the ligaments, and that moves the vocal folds. It lengthens it and it shortens it. So usually longer means a higher pitch and shorter means a lower pitch in a nutshell. Now, you can also move your larynx up and down as well, but that's a little bit more of a filtration process, but that is a dynamic part of making sound. So you need to let the larynx move up and down as well. But all the sound production happens by the vocal folds lengthening and shortening. That's pitch. Then you've got this cover that's really pliable. And this is why I'm always on your case about hydration, because this is almost, it's a mucosal covering, a mucosa covering. So it needs to have lots of hydration. If you look at the vocal folds, and I'll show you some in a second, they're really milky white, pearly white, nice and clean. You'll very often see a little bit of mucus hanging around. I always call it rattling the dags when you do your sirens. And depending on your own individual physiology, because everybody is different, and that could just be your constant state of being, or it could mean that you might need a little bit more hydration to kind of thin things out a little bit. Could mean you've got some post-nasal drips or something's dripping onto it. There's so many things it could mean. That's why keeping yourself hydrated to a level that's right for your body is always going to be a win. And you can find that out by doing the formula, the hydration formula, which is 0.03 times your weight in kilos, and it'll spit out the amount of water in liters that you need to drink. Okay, so the cool thing about the body and the cover of the vocal folds is that they can move independently of each other. So whilst the vocal folds are elongating, the body cover can stay stiff, it can go slack, it can go thin, and it can go thick. There are four: thick, thin, thin, slack. No, thick, thin, slack, stiff. Good Lord. Okay. As well as move the body of it, the body of the vocal fold, thick and thin. So that controls your pitch. And then you've got the cover, which controls more of the voice quality. The body cover ingredient for making sound, like I said, can be thick, which is usually speech quality aligned, and we'll go on to these. Thin, which is usually, and speech quality might also be referred to as chest voice. Thin fold is a cry quality, and that's or sob, cry or sob quality. depending on the height of your larynx, and some people might call that head voice. Then you've got stiff body body cover, which is falsetto, often quite a breathy characteristics. And then you have slack folds, which is vocal fry. That's when your vocal fold body cover is really slack. So those four, we'll talk about those maybe a little bit more in detail, but I just want to give you what it sounds like when you throw whatever ingredients you need together. And there's a recipe, but I'm just going to give you the overview to make certain voice qualities. So we talk about speech quality. Let me give you the textbook kind of blurb that I've written about it. And also from my Estill workbooks, because it's all about Joe Estill. This is where all this comes from. And then, as you know, I have also done some other more traditional voice training as well through Berkeley. But this is Estill. So speech quality is heard in everyday speaking of TV, maybe radio announcers. And you can maybe even think about actioning a speech quality if you need a trigger. It's like your phone voice, your best voice, kind of how I'm talking right now. Sounds, you know, quite full, quite resonant, and certainly I'm articulating and the sound is hopefully good. I'm a little blocked up still, so it could be a little bit nasalized because of that, but I'm really trying to focus on using a speech quality. And so when I'm using a speech quality, I have a thicker vocal fold, body cover. Then you've got, oh, here's some other information. In singing, it is often labeled as chest voice and produces a very conversational quality, often used in pop and folk songs. Think Frank Sinatra, Adele, or Courtney Barnett for the extreme, because she almost actually sounds like she's speaking. Because her delivery barely sounds sung. So we use Happy Birthday often to find these voice qualities in our sessions. So I would say find your speech quality either by putting on your presenter's voice when you're speaking or by singing Happy Birthday in a very relaxed manner, kind of like you've had a few drinks at a birthday party. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. So if I'd flipped into head voice or cry quality, it would have gone, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. But I want to just be able to train myself to keep in speech quality, keep the coordination I'm asking myself to do the whole way through. So remember, you can practice your happy birthdays. I know you guys who have done it love it. And please send them through to me because it's so quick. It's literally 30 seconds. So you can video yourself and get a check-in. If you do choose to send me some vids, can you please say, I'm going to do a speech quality happy birthday. And you can also even check a pitch and try to keep in that particular pitch. So if it's speech quality, it's often going to be in your sweet spot, in your mid-range. Sometimes it's easier and when we talk about default settings, sometimes it's easier to demonstrate certain voice qualities at particular pitches, but that doesn't mean that you're restricted to that pitch. Once you have an understanding of how the coordination is, what the ingredients of the sound sonic recipe are, you can do it at any pitch. It just takes a little bit of practice because the best practice that we have every day is our speaking voice. So if we have particular default settings around our speaking voice, you know my story about my Helen Clark voice. Is my default setting. So this is my default setting, which is kind of a bit more of a sob quality. I'm trying my hardest not to change my vowel sounds as well, but you get the point. So for me, my speaking voice mindfulness was around lightening and balancing out. So I tried to talk a little bit younger, not quite a falsetto, maybe a bit more a cry, but without sounding like I'm actually crying. So it's just sometimes within each of the voice qualities, there are extremes, and I will always demonstrate the extremes so that you can hear it, but also so that when you're doing it, you can feel it. So it's that balance of hearing and imitating, but also being able to feel what's going on yourself so that you can start to recreate it on demand based on the feeling versus the sonic feedback. But today we're all about imitating and sonic feedback. Okay, so the next one, we'll talk about is falsetto quality. So the body cover ingredient for this is a stiff fold, stiff vocal fold, or stiff body cover. It's usually a breathy voice heard in children's voices, boys' choirs, and some older women's speaking voices with a hooty sound quality. Think Julia Child. That is always how I think about, or Mickey Mouse. Yeah, but Julia Child I can do a little bit better, and I think maybe because it's closer to my default settings. You could even have Marilyn Monroe, who's kind of, as long as it's hooty, happy birthday to you. There's actually a little bit of cry quality coming in there as well too. So happy birthday to you, happy birthday, Mr. President. Yeah, like I don't even get my vocal folds together, so you can tell that that's quite stiff fold for me. But yeah, for me, I totally think small child. And so when you're singing happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Oh, there was a nice hooty one there. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. I might have gone a little into head voice and cried that high note. So falsetto I find really challenging. For a number of reasons, just to go in real quickly, for me, it works against my default setting because it's so light that, as I've mentioned, my man voice is my default setting, such a light coordination for me, or such a foreign coordination for me, that I find it difficult. Plus, I have a naturally breathy tone, which means that my vocal folds aren't coming as close to the midline as they potentially could be. So I'm putting air on air, which, you know, is hard. I'm already breathy. So trying to get that is quite challenging for me already. So that's something I might work on. The next one is sob or cry quality. So as I mentioned, these are the same coordinations, but the thing that changes it is the larynx position. So and it's not it's not exclusively like that. It's just this is how we demonstrate it most easily. Excuse me. I cannot do the face.
Or if you're sobbing, the larynx lowers, and you can even put your hand on your larynx, and you can feel that it's lowering down a little bit. And then when you cry,
you can feel it move past your fingers and jump up. So, sob is heard in mournful conversation
or crying and singing of lullabies. Hush, little baby, don't say a word.
That kind of thing, you can kind of get that with a lullaby. Cry quality, I call it sob's cousin, same sensation, but with a high larynx position. The tone sounds sweet and clear. Cry can be heard in pop or commercial singing like Bruno Mars, Ariana Grande, Michael Jackson, and in early music and folk music. You might like to think of it as head voice. Find it by singing happy birthday as if you're sobbing. Use a lower pitch for ease of finding the sensation. And in cry, use a higher pitch for ease of finding the sensation. Or dog whimper. So when you're sirening, I'm asking you to cry. What's happening when you do that is that your larynx, the top cartilage, actually is tilting. So it helps for a couple of reasons. It gives a little extra nudge on the lengthening of your vocal folds, which means you can get higher pitches more easily. But it also contributes to the function or the coordination of that sweeter sound, that more sung sound, if you will. So I like to do a Michael Jackson one. I want to make a change once in my life. Oh, and another really interesting thing is that, and this is not science, but it's considered that cry quality or that tilt of your top cartilage helps, your thyroid cartilage, helps to create vibrato. So if you can do that cry tilt, thyroid tilt, it definitely helps to access your vibrato. So you could maybe cry if you find vibrato hard, see if that helps. And then hold a long note and see if it helps to do vibrato. I don't have a problem doing vibrato. What was I going to say? Oh, yes, the falsetto quality. To know that you're in true falsetto when the vocal folds are quiet, the body cover is stiff, it's very hard to vibrato. So remember that vibrato is movement and oscillation between two pitches. So you can create vibrato with your chin. You can create vibrato by actually moving, like vibrating, like you know, you don't need a tilt to help happen. Be really mindful when you're doing a falsetto if you can hear vibrato, kind of like the Bee Gees. It sounds like they're completely in falsetto, but I think they're potentially a little bit more in head voice in certain places. Depends on where they are in the song. But can't tell by the way I use my walk in my mouth. Da 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 da. Oh, my voice. Da 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 da. All right, it's okay. You can look the other way. And then like, to me is more falsetto, and the vibrato or the movement is more the actual rather than the tilt of the top larynx, top cartilage. I went down a rabbit hole, souls, but that's how it works. And that to me is just a really helpful assessment tool when I'm doing falsetto. Is there vibrato? If not, potentially it actually is a stiffer fold or a falsetto coordination or quality. And if there is vibrato, if there's no vibrato, it's a stiff fold. If there is vibrato, it's more likely to be a head voice or a cry quality. So yeah, sing your happy birthdays through. Here's a demo. Excuse my sniffing. Happy birthday to you. I call it like my Patrick from SpongeBob. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you. When you're lowering the larynx as well, and we'll talk about this when we're talking about the filter, you're creating a longer vocal tract, more space. So you get like a bigger instrument generally has a warmer or a darker sound, and a smaller instrument generally has a brighter sound. So we'll talk about that when we talk about filtering and how you can work that in your favor for coloring your tonality. But for now, with the cry quality, you'll hear that it instantly sounds brighter. Same coordination of my larynx. It's just moved up in my vocal tract. And I'll do a higher pitch as well too. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. That might have even, I'm not meaning to cry, I swear, that might have even been a little bit of falsetto because I got a little breathy on it and the vibrato wasn't as easy to come. So I'll have to have a play around that. I should have my piano happening to check pitches. But you get my gist. Okay. The next quality that we will, and these qualities are, these six qualities are just the most conventional in contemporary Western music. So there are many other voice qualities that you can utilize, but these are just the ones that Jo Estill and her team of voice scientists, when they did research, saw that there were common positionings of many people's larynxes when they were laryngeals, when they were making the same sounds. And they kind of saw, oh, the tongue is in that position, and oh, that isn't. So these vocal structures, the 13 vocal structures that she discovered and looked at, she saw patterns in them. And those patterns basically become the sonic recipes that make up these sounds. But as I've mentioned, we will talk about the 13 vocal structures, whether it's here or in lessons, but that is the intermediate stage. So once you're at that point with me, we've moved away from, kind of more actually the advanced stage. The beginner stage is just singing some songs. The intermediate stage is reverse engineering and breaking it down into these core elements to help you to troubleshoot. And then advanced stage is the mastery of your instrument and really understanding how each little moving part works and how working them not only helps you to produce sound more efficiently and more healthily, but that is where you start to be able to make your own sounds, your signature sounds, and you understand what you can add in and take out of your sonic recipe to make your own sonic cake, your very own sonic sound, your signature sound. So these voice qualities are just conventional. You can do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt. So yeah, twang. Twang is the next one. Now, you've got a couple of kinds of twang. You've got nasalized and oral twang. The oral twang is actually the loudest, but it's the hardest one to coordinate because there's a lot going on. And so often I will just talk with you predominantly about nasalized twang because it's the easiest one to find. Twang is a combination of a couple of voice structures. So it is just like all the other ones, actually. There are two in particular that you really need to master, which is your AES sphincter, which is the muscle that helps you to swallow. That's why it is challenging, because you don't ever want to swallow in singing. If you get to that point, that is like high-level constriction, and it's like no sound is going to come out with that. So we have to be really careful when we start working with the AES sphincter. But the other one that is really probably the first port of call, and again, we'll talk about this a bit more when we talk about filter, is your soft palate or your velum, because a lot of people have default settings around this that you can hear in their speaking voice. So yeah, if you are nasal, you won't be able to hear anything because the nasal process actually dulls the sound. So we never want to be so nasal that we can't hear what we're saying. We just want to nasalize to grab a little bit of the upper harmonic partials, the frequencies at the top, and that helps with a bit of projection. But again, we'll go into that deeper in filter. So twang is probably one we'll talk the most about in the filter section, but let me just tell you about it. Great for adding to your voice. This is twang quality. Great for adding to your speaking voice when in noisy environments for ease of projection, and in singing can be heard in American country music, gospel, R&B, musical theater. You can find it by cackling like a witch. Yeah. So that is me getting my twang on right there. You can neigh like a horse. Neigh! Neigh! Imitate a bagpipe or a my favorite is mimicking the Australian accent. Mate, mate, can't believe it, mate. So I'm overdoing it again. But, you know, you can hear how bright it sounds and how piercing it can be. So it is a great thing for, like, if you're in the club and you've got a bass-boosted environment where that's my cat doing her best twang demonstration. Thanks, Lenny. You're right there. Thanks for that. That was on cue. Didn't even plan it. But you can hear yourself so much more clearly when you're placing your voice using your own internal mixing desk, which is essentially what understanding your filter is about. You can allow projection as needed when you're speaking and when you're singing. So when we look at voice print next week, specifically when we're playing around with the filtering, you'll see, and I'll remind you of the frequency areas, how they correlate with our vocal tract and our filtering process, and I'll give you more examples of how to when you can see the voice print. We can talk a little bit more about the frequencies that the voice hears at. It's a little easier to make sense, but bottom line is, when you're talking like this, it's so much louder and you can really feel that brightness of the sound come through. So when you're in a loud environment and you know, I'm changing the vowel to sound like an Australian person just because it's my default setting, bad habit, but I could probably, yeah, you know, like if I nasalize a little bit more like that without changing the vowels as much, you know, it does pierce through a little bit more, and it probably sounds a lot louder on the you know, the microphone will be picking it up a lot more. So you can utilize that tool in speaking. You've also got I like to do my Aretha Franklin, because R&B and soul use it a lot as a stylistic tool. It 100% makes singing high notes easier because you're not having to work as hard, but you're getting that projection. So also rock music, like Led Zepp. Robert Plant uses it a lot. I'm in trouble now. But I can never remember the lyrics. But I'm not fooling. Gonna send you back to school and way down inside. I need I got the faces too, I'm sorry. And then Aretha. Looking out in the morning rain, used to feel so uninspired. I'm overdoing it, but you can hear, once you identify the voice qualities, you're like, oh, twang. And I encourage you actually to listen to music now and go, oh, that sounds like, or oh, that sounds like whatever, insert whatever voice quality. The thing is about these voice qualities is you're not going to apply one voice quality all the way through. It'll be from syllable to syllable, let alone phrase to phrase or line to line, you'll be utilizing different voice qualities. The cry quality gets used a lot, as does speech quality in popular music. And then you'll have twang rolled in every now and then. And then probably belt is the next one. And that one is more, I call it happy yelling, often used in pop, musical theater, gospel, and R&B. And we've may have gone over this where you, because it's such an energetic form of singing, you do need to roll in some anchoring, so other support structures. But basically, it's such a primal sound. It's as if you were cheering at a sports game. So I'm going to turn the microphone away from me and I'm going to do it. Yay! 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 You know, you can go as high or as low as you want with belting. But you do have to make sure that you've got some support structures. I hope I didn't just blow out your eardrums. And last but not least is opera quality. So heard in opera singing in legit, a lighter variant of opera, which is sometimes used in musical theatre. This quality is sometimes a combination of twang, speech, and song, but variations of the recipe can also include falsetto and cry, depending on the sound you're wanting with the style you're singing. So that one's the hardest one. So belt and opera are the two that are like very specialist. I do not work with opera singers. I am not an opera singer. I have made a true opera quality once on a syllable / vowel, and I just about had a heart attack. I was so excited. So it's not necessarily something that I would teach, but I understand the recipe and I can throw it together as needed. And that's the goal for you. I just want you to know what the ingredients that are available to you are so that you can make whatever sonic recipe you want to make to create your signature sound. That is it. Those are the voice qualities. They are a key element in the big picture of understanding the source, the vocal folds, the true vocal folds, their body and their cover. And once we start to delve a little bit further into the sort of more advanced elements, we will break it down individually. Or I'm constantly breaking it down as you're singing to me and figuring it out. But my goal is always to give you the tools so that when I'm not around, you know how to create the sounds that you want to create safely and on demand. So the context then, two things. The first one, I'm going to give you these notes that I've read out today. I want you to just try it in your speaking voice first. Use caricatures to draw you in and to play around with the sounds. And I will have asked you potentially to utilize some of these in your speaking voice mindfulness to either balance or explore your voice in certain ways. So speaking is the first way. If you don't want to talk like SpongeBob, what's his name, Patrick, you can just read text. So whenever you're reading through Facebook or reading a book, read out loud and utilize the speech quality that you're wanting to play around with. And I encourage you to play around with all of them and go for the one that you find the hardest, because that's one that will be the furthest away from your default setting. So like I said, falsetto is going to be my one. The other thing you can do is sing happy birthday. So sing through all the voice qualities with happy birthday. Send me videos. I love seeing your videos. And you can also still remember to send me sirens as well. By the way, at this point in the coaching, I've kind of flipped things on their head a little bit for these more technique-focused coaching sessions. At the end is where, if there's time, I will get I will do sirens myself with a voice print, or ideally, you will come on and do sirens as a guest, and I can check them with voice print, or you'll have a question for me. Now, I can't see any questions in the comments group. Remember, you can always do hashtag question and email me if you have a particular question about anything here. But I do just want you to try some speaking voice quality play arounds, singing through happy birthday, and then just sing through some songs and see how you can maybe apply imitating a particular sound based on what you've heard today and what you know. For example, twang is going to make your projection easier. Speech quality is more conversational. Cry is definitely delivering the emotion. It's going to help you sing a little bit higher as well. But let's work. Let's not do necessarily belt through any happy birthdays, and be mindful if you're trying out opera. More about feeling what is actually working, because as I've said, there's so many variations of the recipe. So I want you to let me know what happens when you sob based on what I've told you today about all the different voice qualities. Okay, so next week we will go into the filter. We'll get a lot of voice print happening so I can show you how these voice qualities change the dynamic of the vocal tract. It's just easier. Like, I know you can hear these differences when I do them, but I'd like you to see them. And then, of course, the most important is to feel it. What is happening when you're doing these things? Close your eyes, get rid of some of the other senses, and focus on what's working as you do it. We probably don't have time for me to do some sirens, but I might be able to get it out. I've got a couple of minutes. Let me see if I can share my screen and just quickly show you. I'm going to link this to you in the show notes as well. Oh, by the way, how are you finding the scale of the week? Are you getting a sing through? I'm really enjoying making them. And when you put them all together, you're going to have a really dynamic vocal workout. And I will put some beats behind them in the future so that we've got different rhythms, but we're just starting with the pitch and the intervals and the scales and a bit of ear training, and then we'll throw some rhythms in. I found some hilarious cool bosses and stuff like that, so you can kind of groove through. But remember as well, if you get sick of them, put them together, change them out, and you've got your vocal workouts. Most of you should have your vocal workouts, whether they're the Berkeley ones or the Christina Aguilera ones, in your Dropbox folder. Okay, so let me just share my screen real quick and show you this video, and I'll see if I can get my A into G with make it big. Alrighty, so I'm just going to play this. Bring myself down here. Oh, no, other way. Gosh. And I will try not to say anything because you can hear both of us.
Some post-nasal drainage. This is the hardest part. I know, it's going into your throat. That's the only part that's a little painful. Okay, relax. Relax. Okay, I know. Okay, it's over.
I might pause it and show you what's going on. Hear what's happening.
Good. Okay, now don't swallow.
Okay, so you can see the vocal folds there. That's them. And these are the false vocal folds on the sides here. I don't know if you can see that in my cursor. And that's the main thing you really need to have a look at. You'll see that that's a slow vibration, but it's going real fast. So you can see those false vocal folds there a little bit better. Okay, so you can see there when he's doing low, the entire structure moves further away. So that's that what we were talking about, like when we're sobbing, layering lower, and you're creating more space. So it's a bigger instrument; it sounds deeper. And then you'll see this whole thing moving close to the camera. So if you don't know, we're looking down into this dude's throat.
Fluid note, low to high.
So it's super subtle, but you can see. There we go, moving closer. Breath. Oops.
You can do anything you want on tape.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
So these little things here, these arytenoids, they are like the gear stick. They help the coordination process. So when we were talking before about lengthening for high pitches and shortening for lower pitches, as well as, you know, the movement of the larynx up and down, but these true vocal folds here can also, the cover of them can also change into those four different positions, stiff, thick, thin, and slack. So that kind of gives you an insight of what goes on in the throat with the vocal folds, and I'll link that in so you can watch the whole thing if you want. Let me just stop sharing my screen, and I ended up talking a ton there. So what I won't go onto VoicePrint today to show you necessarily my sirens, but that would be what I would love to do, is to have you rather than me be checking your sirens or checking a technique or an element that we've discussed in the live, if that makes sense. So yeah, I think that's everything. If you've got questions, yell out, and I look forward to seeing you next week to chat through filter some more. Look out for the scale of the week coming on Sunday, along with the email, and let me know if you're having any issues with my new, it's the same platform, I've just changed the interface a little bit for booking. I haven't got any slots free this week, but I do have some free the following week, Saturday. So I think that's the 7th of March is my next free slot. So hope to see you soon. If you need anything, just shout out and have an amazing day. Take care.